Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Therapy. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir. I am a licensed clinical social worker practicing as an intuitive psychotherapist. You can find me online through my website, which is nolatherapy.com. It's the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy, as I have offices physically in both locations. I do phone, Skype, and FaceTime sessions with clients worldwide. So reach out to me there if you are interested in booking a session or inquiring about being a guest on this show. And you can find archived episodes of this show on YouTube, iTunes, and Google Play. I'm going to introduce my guest in a moment. I just wanted to give a little plug for next week on Tuesday, February 21st from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I am going to be a guest on Living Consciously TV. It's a program talking about various topics related to health and well-being. And the show that I'm doing with the host is going to be on psychology, psychotherapy, and spirituality. So the website to find that show is consciousevolutionmedia.com. There will be a link on my Facebook, professional Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So I'm excited to bring my guest on because she has been a frequent guest on this show, talking typically about astrology, about frequency, about medical intuition, mediumship. She is a clairvoyant artist, among the other things I just listed. And today we both felt like doing something a bit different, hopefully bringing some laughter to you, our listeners, and a different take on words. We are going to speak today on linguistic subtleties in specific relationship to words that are considered taboo, in air quotes, in our culture, curse words, like the word fuck, like the word bitch. We're going to talk about their origins. We're going to talk about a little bit of neuroscience to this whole shebang of verbiage. So welcome, Amadeus. I'm so happy to have you back on.
Hi, thank you for having me and for having this interesting subject that we're going to talk about.
I know. I'm really grateful that you had this idea a few months ago. So I'm excited to kind of jump in with, you know, your thoughts and my thoughts on this topic.
Can you hear me all right? I want to know, first of all.
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, you were great.
Fucking amazing cell phone.
That's awesome. I am too.
That everyone that knows me probably does bring up a so-called swear word when they think of my cell phone. So hopefully you can hear me all right.
Yes, it is working okay today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a complete delight to be on the show. I was absolutely thrilled when I was speaking with you privately about communication, about astrology and communication, because I feel that astrology is a wonderful tool to get people to bridge differences, you know, and to understand how we all have a different style of communication. And within that conversation, I brought up, I'm sure, my favorite word, which is the word fuck, which seems to be a word that brings up many different viewpoints, many different ideas of
and many feelings. Within
and many feelings, yeah.
And judgments.
And judgments. So, first of all, I was going to say that today, you know, I did want to take this slightly different spin and talk about so-called bad words, specifically the word fuck, because that is my favorite word.
Okay.
And I'll throw in some astrology at the end for good measure.
But of course.
What brought this up for me was that I am a complete word fan. You know, I'm a writer. I'm always found with a pen and a notebook, still a pen and a notebook, no matter how many, you know, devices I have, computer devices.
That's cute.
And maybe just maybe I can claim the title wordsmith at times. I am a person who is fascinated with words. And probably I'm fascinated with wordsmith because of the etymology of that, which is, you know, the idea of word plus a smith or a blacksmith or someone who crafts and metals.
Yeah.
You know, a person who uses hammers and tools to, you know, hammer out meaning in the meaning of things. So
I relate to that because I do some blacksmithing. I've forged, you know, quite a few things and metal. So yeah, wordsmithing, I never compared the two because I so relate to the physicality of blacksmithing. But wordsmithing, that's really beautiful.
But you do. Everyone listening really should check out. I don't know what your website is for your art, but you're a exceedingly talented
artist. It's my name, LisaTahir.com. Thank you.
People should, and it's true. It's actually, you really do understand what I'm saying, and I love the imagery of that, of using a tool to craft out of the ether meaning into something, and whether that's a word or, you know, a piece of metal. I love the idea of it, and because of this word freakiness that I have, I'm so frequently asked what my favorite word is.
Okay, cool.
And decidedly, my favorite word is fuck. I've said that, known that, forever. And so I was thinking about that when we were thinking about the show. Why is fuck my favorite word? And
yeah,
it is funny to say that. It is a funny thing, and it does actually make me laugh. And it is indeed true that it is my favorite word. And I realize that, to me, it's simply one of the most beautiful words I know. It's the versatility of the word fuck is definitely what wins my heart. You know, fuck contains an entire emotional, like you said, feeling spectrum within four letters and one syllable. It expresses pain, pleasure, frustration, disdain, direction, beauty. It augments, you know, it's a slur, it's a sexual thing, it's an act, it's about sexuality. I could go on and on about that. And one can literally tell an entire story using fuck almost exclusively. I didn't really write out a story, but literally, we all can do this in our heads, you know. And you can literally have a story that, you know, uses almost entirely fuck. Fuck.
Okay.
I'm fucked. That fucker fucked me. Fucking with my favorite fuck. Fucked me over. That shit. I threw in another one. It's fucked.
Yeah. Well, because I think, because the word fuck can be used as a noun, a verb, an adjective, an interjection, and an adverb.
Right?
So there's so many different ways to use the word effectively.
Right. And a conjunction, and yeah, I mean, it's the only word, you know, if you make a list, that can be, like you said, a verb, an intransitive verb, an action verb, passive verb, adverb, noun, interjection, conjunction, when it's paired with things, an enhancer, you know. So, I mean, when you have a word that is that versatile, it's an amazing thing. And
yeah.
So I've been a proponent for the word fuck. I get in a lot of trouble for it sometimes when somebody has said, watch your language. I mean, I understand the social mores, you know, behind it. But I also have a little bit of a rebel or reformer in me.
You do. Yes.
that wants to reclaim the ability to use a word and think more about the intention behind it as opposed to what society says is correct or not, you know? I mean, one of the things that struck me is that I was completely taken aback and surprised by how much this word of mine, this favorite word, is still considered taboo. It's rarely in print, you know?
Right.
When we see it, you can get in trouble for having it in print, while you can go on and have a diatribe that is hideous and heinous in every possible way and slanderous. We see things and it still makes me laugh. There are euphemisms for fuck, dashes, ridiculous punctuation that fills in pages where fuck should firmly be placed, you know, in my opinion.
Right.
And it's so funny. Just this morning in my inbox, I guess I get this thing called Elephant Journal, this mindfulness, you know.
Yeah, I've seen that for sure.
Have you seen that? And it's
yeah.
A pretty cool thing. It's very interested in mindfulness and yoga and eating correctly and how to meditate when you only have a minute and how to process pain and anger and Yolatis and blah, blah, blah. And
right.
And the heading that came in was, fuck you, mindfulness, but with F, with the little star, CK.
Oh, that's interesting that came up today in your inbox.
Yeah,
wow.
And for some reason, it just kind of made me laugh because here's this thing about mindfulness and intention and walking your talk, but it's okay to have like this wink and a nod, you know, that's what it feels like, you know, if you put a little dash or a little dot in there, you know, it's actually leading.
Yeah.
This journal, yeah, but they're using the power of it, right? Like they have five other articles, but they're using that to lead with. But somehow this star instead of the letter U makes this socially acceptable and printable, like it's kinder. And then I wanted to say, personally, for fuck's sake, it's a self-help thing that's about evolution. Why this star? You know, why can't it walk its truth, right? The intention of what they were there.
So, well, Amadeus, I want to throw in some fun facts that I've found in my research.
Because
I love being a geek and researching things. So you are not alone in your love of the word fuck. In 1971, do you know that the U.S. Supreme Court decided that the public display of fuck is protected under both the First and 14th Amendments and cannot be made a criminal offense? So we are protected.
Was that on the draft, having to do with the
Vietnam War, absolutely.
And the draft. And
yeah.
And all the way to the Supreme Court?
The Supreme Court, yes.
Wow.
Cohen versus California, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's just unbelievably amazing I'm sure I don't know your other facts. That one I knew a little bit about. I believe that it was actually, it had to go all the way to the Supreme Court.
It did.
Incarcerated or fined.
But I think it's so cool. It really shows, you know, the power of words, and that a word, you know, to sanction words means like, you know, you're not free. So even the Supreme Court upholding our, you know, knowing, validating, you know, how important it is to have words at our disposal to use.
Right. And boy, are we up for some of that going on right now. It's sort of timely, you know, that we decided to do this.
You're right.
About length and how it's used and intention behind something, you know. I mean, I want to hear more facts, so I don't want to interrupt you if you were...
No, that's good. That's all. I'm just going to throw them in as it comes up in our dialogue. So I'm good. Please continue.
I love that one.
Awesome.
So I was thinking about this, you know, with that, you know, the elephant journal thing today, and then, you know, some things that I was raised with, and I'm sure, please chime in, you know, you're a therapist and a people person, but, you know, so much is about context or intonation, you know, and this is what comes behind the word, you know, words become dirty by association, you know. Mm-hmm. What if we learn to associate our attention or feelings, you know, differently behind an organization of letters, you know? You know, I think we all know when something's meant to be an insult, you know, versus not an insult, you know. And then social mores will say things like, you know, if I said you fucker, that's worse than if I say you pecker, even if I have a vile intention behind it. You prig, or you pig, or you poo, or even you defecator.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Amadeus, I've never heard that.
So I was thinking about this today. So I was in an argument with my girlfriend, and I said, "You defecator!" Like,
oh my god, thank you for that. That is the fucking funniest thing I've heard in recent times. You defecator.
And I thought, would that be grounds, you know, to break up? Because something that really has taken me by surprise is how much this word is so divisive in the judgments, like you said. I had no idea with my girlfriend that saying fuck you in an upset moment, let's say, it's not a happy thing to receive, but that is absolutely, you know, a line in the sand. I mean, I wasn't raised that that could be that. In fact, because of its versatility, I think, in fact, I was raised to believe that it is somewhat more of an intelligent or gentler way to say something, even if it has power behind. However, she thought that saying you bitch was not at all on the same line. Now, we're in my family, that and that's the worst thing you could say. And I was trying to figure out, well, why would that, you know, what's the difference in that culturally or personally? And so I was thinking about the word bitch then, one that I don't use and I don't like. And again, probably greatly due to, you know, the way I was raised. meaning and intent was taught to me, you know, and what I heard. And for me, if anybody's interested out there, the difference for me, why calling you, tell me to fuck off, fine. You know, that's an action, that's a word, whatever, you know, a feeling.
Okay.
Call me a bitch, that's bad, you know, for me.
Yeah, why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's partly, you know, we all know, and I'm saying that in the quotes, that bitch means a she-dog, a wolf.
Right, female dog.
As if anybody really uses that, you know. And then after that, it's something difficult or to, you know, express displeasure, to whine, to complain. These things that are very attributed to females. And I thought about that. And I thought, aha, that's what it is. It's kind of like how women weren't allowed to vote because we were considered to be hysterical or fishy. Right? Like, it's not rational, so your feelings aren't valid, and it's precisely because you are female. So to me, the word bitch, and I know women have reclaimed it for good reason, but it is such a slur because it's not as ecumenical. It's not as impartial. It's not as versatile. It doesn't even have underneath its definition a positive definition. You know, fucking is something that's beautiful, you know,
right,
to many people, most people out. Somebody might say something is unfucking believably beautiful. That is
like,
so
it's awesome, beyond amazing. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so fuck has, you know, pleasure and beauty components to it, where bitch is just this negative sort of female association. So anyway, that goes to families, and again, the intent behind words and how words and these letters, you know, that we smith out, that, you know, from the ether, how they gather such meaning. And it absolutely fascinates me.
You know, when you were just speaking a moment ago, even about talking about the origins of the word, you know, bitch being negative and based in a notion of women, females being hysterical. And that took me back to even the origin of hysteria being attributed to women, and it going back to, you know, Sigmund Freud actually really founded, you know, discovered that women that had been sexually abused had a set of traumatic reactions that at the time was called hysteria. And he published it in a book, and the middle and upper class really revolted, you know, because a lot of the perpetrators were men in the middle and upper class. And so this discovery, you know, of hysteria, which it then was just kind of a scientific term, like one would be now, took on a negative meaning. And, you know, Freud recanted it, and then his predecessors kind of picked it back up and, you know, made our modern day traumatology research. And now it's post-traumatic stress disorder and other things that are less laden with, you know, negative meaning. But even that's interesting, like where word comes from and what it becomes.
Right. And I do think that is a very, let's say, timely conversation right now about those things.
Yeah.
And certainly, I mean, you go back in the early, you know, really early 1900s, late 1800s, you know, when the suffragette movement was on, and constantly you'd hear that stuff coming off the, you know, Freudian languaging, whether it was recanted or not, you know, and about women being hysterical and about it being something, you know, divinely wrong, you know, in the biology that really just invalidated behavior. I mean, this is a common thing you talk about sometimes now, how if a woman is directive, it's called bitchy or bossy, you know.
Right, but a man is assertive. For instance,
I wish it was called fucky, actually, if I could really, like, rename it, because it goes in every direction. I mean, again, fuck is, you know, everybody can be a fucker, right?
Well, and I think you brought up something interesting too. You mentioned your family, and I know before we came on the air, you mentioned your grandparents, so I don't know what context that fits in. But in my family growing up, my father is from Pakistan, mother is Irish. So my mom, and there was lots of cursing, lots of fuck this and you fucking bitch. And, you know, lots of volatility and criticism in that way. So for me, using those words, you know, had a negative association to tell someone that when I'm angry, because I found it to be so personally hurtful. So I try to use those words just like when I'm happy. Like, and you were saying fuck. Like, it's so fucking amazing, unbelievable. Like, I think that word specifically, or even shit, holy shitballs, like, can have a really fun, lighthearted connotation, as opposed to the heaviness that I experience it, you know, growing up. So I was curious right. about your experience of these types of words as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably part of my interest and belovedness for fuck I owe. This is almost a very disturbing double entendre. Dark
okay.
comedy. I'm saying I owe to my mom. I'm laughing. Because yeah. my mom is also a psychologist like you are, and
that's
she
right.
had a strong opinion about words, about what's considered profane. And we, you know, she grew up in, I might have mentioned this before on the show, but, you know, she grew up at Los Feliz with the Jewish, you know, but only cultural communist adjacent, I call it, parents, you know, artists. And then she moved to the Midwest, you know, where there are different mores,
wow.
different cultures around. And we were allowed to swear at an earlier age than other children.
Okay.
I don't ever remember not being allowed to swear. The word swearing wasn't really even a word. In fact, I wanted to talk about how I'd like to obliterate the idea of cussing, you know, and talk more about
yeah.
intention. But I'll talk about that in a second. But so my mom was very thoughtful with her words. And she sat my brother and myself down very young and explained to us that there's nothing that existed that was a bad word. Words weren't
okay.
inherently bad. It was how you use them. And it really made such a deep impression on me because we
yes.
were not allowed to take a word and name call. There was no name calling. In fact, I was thinking today, no matter how much ire, you know, might happen or frustration in my family, I don't recall people name calling, you know, whether that's
mm-hmm.
just a prick, even if it's not a swear word. So, and yet people might say shit or fuck, you know?
Yeah.
So my friends came around and, you know, when I was little, and I don't mean, you know, I was running around saying anything. I never had a problem, never got in trouble for ever using a word inappropriately in my entire life, you know. But
yeah.
but I was allowed to responsibly, let's say, use words when I can handle them. And so my friends heard that, you know, of course, in school, they're running, you know, potty mouth crazy. And then, you know, oh, I can't say anything in front of my parents. You know, it was a big rebellious act, you know. Just string
sure.
together as many bad words as you could. But my mom sat all my friends down and explained to them that it was the intention behind the word and it was the meaning that you were putting behind a word, and that when you used a word against somebody, that was bad, and that's what made a word bad. But that the words inherently weren't bad. All my friends learned about swearing, they say, from my mother, and
what
have all
cool.
taught their children the same thing, and I love it. And then, and interrupt me if I'm talking too much.
But, no, go ahead. I'll jump okay. in after. Yeah.
So that was my, you know, family life with my mom. My dad didn't really weigh in on much of that. And
okay.
then, but my mom was from, I said, Los Feliz, the communist Jewish adjacent, you know, cultural Jews, artists. And they did swear. I remember my grandmother bitching.
Those mm-hmm. right.
This relative or that relative or, you know, this state of, you know, the nation. And, you know, I remember hearing the word shit. I don't know. I was thinking, did my grandma say fuck? I don't know. You know, but shit. But not about people. And then I would go down to my dad's family that are the Southern Christians in San Diego, but highly Southern Christian, you know, meaning I have a grandma and granddaddy. And I would go from that environment, you know, where everything was talked about and the word shit was thrown around a bit. And, you know,
yeah.
maybe ask. And then I go down 2.5 hours, and I, you know, was playing dominoes one time, which was already strange for me, because we didn't play games, really,
okay.
in my family. And I went, oh, God, that's a great move, and I got in trouble, and my granddaddy said, we don't say that in this house, and I didn't have any understanding of what he was saying. And
yeah.
and I did it again, and I got shamed, and I wasn't allowed to say the G-D word, is how they said it. But then my granddaddy would constantly walk around. This is my memory of him going, gersh darn it, that gersh darn it, darn it, darn it, gersh darn it.
So he wanted to say it at some level.
And I was, you know, obviously understood he was saying, God damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it.
Yes.
God damn it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out why that was okay, because in the Jewish side, or whatever, I'm not calling it the Jew, you know, versus religion, just up north, with the artist people, I didn't actually hear that. I don't have any memory of them, of anybody walking around with their frustration using any words, you know, like that. So it felt very hypocritical to me as a child. Like, okay, mm-hmm. so you move a letter, but it feels bad. It actually feels really bad to hear granddaddy go, gosh darn it.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I got really interested in the power of words and the sort of the sleight of hand that makes something socially acceptable, but the feelings still didn't feel good.
And I think you're talking about something important. You mentioned a couple of times slurs. You know how slurs feel and mm-hmm. are negative. Yeah. And, you know, mm-hmm. slurs using, you know, with certain stereotypes along with the word fuck and other words like that are damaging, as are, I think, swearing at people, swearing at children.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, it's
sure.
verbal abuse. And so that's really a different way of using those words than, you know, in other settings. And so, again, a fact that I pulled up is that a yeah. professor of cognitive science at UC San Diego, his name is Benjamin Bergen, did some research and did listening, I thought this was really cool, that swearing is prelingual and primary in children. Like, children are born with an innate sense to know about swearing. And he published a book actually talking wow. about raising kids, and that it's not, it's only harmful to swear and use these words in front of children if they are in the context of a slur, in particular mm-hmm. racial, you know, negative slur, right. or mm-hmm. verbally abusive. But otherwise, mm-hmm. that science does not show that swearing in front of kids, you know, when it's used in terms of excitement and joy, that's not damaging at all scientifically.
Or, so I thought that was a hammer to your hand and smash your hand and go shit.
Right, that's not damaging.
Yeah, I agree with that. I absolutely agree. I get in this fight all the time. that's why I was interested in doing this show, you know. And I mean, I think that we could say that there's so many other words too that would constitute unacceptable in terms of what we call verbal abuse. It's just, you know, and things you don't say to people, which of course we are human and we err at times, but it isn't just fuck you, you know, that lands
right.
in that. There's context. Context is so important, you know. I was reading a study yesterday, and it was something I wasn't going to mention it, so I hope that, you know, I didn't write down the person, but it was basically the idea of, like, if you meet somebody and the person says your name wrong, and then they keep insisting on saying your name wrong over and over and over and over and over and over, you know, that this now becomes an insult, and it gathers traction to be a slur, you know, and yet there's nothing mm-hmm. inherently wrong in the name, you know, Chad. When your name's Chris, you know? So
yeah.
how words gather things. So in the context of a family, some families may not, and this is where that hypocrisy comes up, bugs me sometimes, you know, some families may, for whatever reason, religious or whatever, sidestep saying shit and fuck for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But you know, throw around the most heinous bits of information and, you know, digs that are just as harmful. And I just find it so interesting how we can allow somebody to be excoriated in the press. But I also saw that somebody like in England got in trouble recently for saying those fucking, you know, part of a party, you know, a political party.
Right.
And they got in trouble for saying that. And however, they could have excoriated, lied, done all kinds of things. And it wouldn't have, you know, had the same, you know, brouhaha about it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that highlights the fact that it's social repercussions that exist mm-hmm. for using, you know, swear or cuss words, you know, as opposed to linguistic consequences, that it's the social mm-hmm. construct. And I'm curious, even in your work, working with clients, mm-hmm. you know, being that you know, enjoy these kind of words, like, how do you handle that in your work?
I love that question. It's so funny. I was going to tell you something about work in the music industry with it in a minute,
oh, cool.
but let me tell you about my clients. So, yeah, that's a fantastic question, Lisa.
Good.
I feel like it's a feeling that I know. I feel like we all have this, you know, and especially when you're serving in a counseling capacity, you know, you're there to aid and to be of service. You know, it's not about your ego or your expression.
Yeah.
So I believe that for myself, I can sense how I can communicate most effectively with somebody. I would never edit myself. Like, I would never edit. I've gotten in trouble for that, too. Not with clients. Just personally.
Sure.
Retelling a story where somebody told me to fuck off and I'm retelling it. And then I've never in my entire life ever said frigging. And I'm going to go off on that if I have time. Like, I would repeat that. I would never censor that with a client. That doesn't feel authentic. And it's, I don't have a problem with the word. And I don't feel that, you know, that's being inappropriate to anybody's, mores,
right,
because I'm retelling a story. However, with some clients, and I do have a lot of very religious clients. I mean, I would not, you know, grab into the bag of, you know, hey, this is kind of fucked up, what's happening with your Saturn, you know,
if
I didn't think that would effectively communicate, because again, I'm in service. However, I would say that probably about 70% of the time, the word fuck is going to come in somewhere because I love it, but it's going to be well-placed for effective communication. I'm not going to use it to gather attention, you know? Not at all.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's an icebreaker, seriously, with a lot of heavy stuff in a chart, you know, and, you know, 2 hours into a reading, you know, I might say, I get it. This really is kind of a fucked up time for you. And it's an icebreaker, you know?
And you intuit that it's okay to say that. And it does kind of lighten or soften the mood and connect. Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like it allows your clients to connect to you and what's being presented to them.
Yes, that's exactly it. Very, very astute. So I use it as a connector, always aware that I want to speak authentically, though, you know, because I don't think it's a service to anybody if I, you know, I'm such a chameleon that, you know, there's no point of view of human that they're coming.
And so, interesting that you use it as a, go on, and then I'll say.
No, go ahead. You go.
That you use it in one sense as a connector, like I heard you say, and I'll you know, look at this as a way of diagnostics. Like I use this kind of language topic as a diagnostic tool. And what I mean by that is that when a first-time client comes in, it's happened this week that, you know, say 7 out of 10 times, 8 out of 10 times, I notice a client, they're trying to articulate something about a difficult situation. And I can tell they're using every kind of word besides what they really want to say. And I'll say, you know, it's okay to use any language in here that you want. And they'll be like, well, thank fucking God, you know, because this fucking shit is fucked up. And then, so that's one diagnostic tool where I notice their perception of me and of therapy is possibly that it needs to be very proper, it needs to be, you know, somehow appropriate, versus the client that comes in. And it always kind of takes me aback in a pleasant way that the client that sits down is like, fuck this fucking situation. Like, I'm almost kind of taken aback because they don't really care what I think or what therapy is supposed to be. So it's definitely a diagnostic tool about that individual's personality and I think how they present themselves in the world. You know, so I always find that really interesting in my work.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Yeah, you have me thinking about that. That's very fascinating. Yeah, I mean, absolutely diagnostic in terms of, am I going to please? Do I have to keep up a front? Can I not touch what I really want to say versus somebody who's just like, I'm laying it on the line.
Yes, and it's different work for those two typically personality types. Like maybe the individual that didn't feel comfortable, you know, using the words they wanted to might need some encouragement. It's okay to speak your mind versus the person that might just sit down and let it all hang out. Maybe they need a little coaching on kind of, you know, possibly being a little more restrained or reading certain situations, you know, so I always use that as information then to work with them on.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's
thank
very,
you.
I'm very glad you shared that. I'm going to think on that. You know, you asked me about work and we're talking about work. For some reason, when I was contemplating the show, I thought about, you know, in going through the uses of specifically the word fuck, but you know, a certain what we call bad words, and you know, they also they do and dovetails into what you're just saying, dovetails into, they do confer power at times. And I realized, I was thinking when I was in the music industry, I mean, I still am, but you know, when I was when I was wee and I was fresh out of film school and I was all confident and about, you know, we still had baby fat, you know, my teeth, you know, I would be with all these very, I have to say, I don't want to make all the guys this way, but a good quantity of sexist, misogynistic dudes that just, you know, really weren't listening much to what I wanted to say. I was very passionate about my musical vision, and you know, I told you how I grew up and that I was allowed to use these words, and they're a part of me and how much I love language. And when I'd get impassioned about a certain musical thing, you know, quite often, you know, I was giving my, let's say, my pitch of the song or how I want it to sound, and I would say, you know, Korean drums are fucking amazing as a 207,
okay,
sound. And I would notice that they would sort of, you know, looking back, sort of perk up. Now, I didn't say fucking amazing to get any kind of, you know, attention.
Reaction.
But
But
there was something about this young girl, you know, little girl in there who had, let's say, the balls, not that I thought of it that way, to speak directly and to use these words. And it's funny because I do think I was thinking about it. I've never really thought about it. I think it gave me a little bit of seniority. The confidence I had got translated better, actually, about my vision. And it was almost like, you know what, it's akin to, you know, if you're at a bar and I was the same thing and, you know, some guy saying, well, you know, like, take back a few Jack Daniels, you know, it shouldn't be that way. But that kind of bonding or something might have them take me as more confident and serious. I'm not saying I approve of that, but there was something about me saying, you know, this fucking Korean drum is awesome and I want to use it. This is my vision. You know, that other shit doesn't work. And something about that, you know
it's funny you say
stronger.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
It's funny you bring this particular topic up about the music industry. One of the articles I read today had to do with using the word fuck in the music industry and that being, you know, really acceptable, you know, and kind of the cultural norm as opposed to other industries. So it's really poignant and important what you're saying.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, although I hadn't really thought about it. I mean, it's fascinating that the power, I mean, it seems sort of silly in a sense, but that a lot of people say you're a powerful person, especially if you're a young female and you swear like a sailor. Somehow that confers a certain kind of power, you know?
Right, and comfortability with oneself.
Yes, right. Like, I can talk with the boys. I mean, I'm not saying that's where it came for me, but I, looking back, I can see that, sort of like them perking up, a little smile on their face, like, oh, she might actually know what she's talking about. You know?
Like you're speaking their language. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I find that fascinating. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about it again on that cultural thing, who, you know, I was another friend of mine that, you know, swears a lot, you know, again, I hate saying that, but I want to get rid of the word swear, but whatever, what society would call swearing a lot, which I love and has a wonderful vocabulary. I found out recently from her, and I've known her a long time, that fuck you was also her line in the sand. You know, you could throw stuff at her and call her what I think is the absolute worst word, and I never say, but I'll say it on the show. Cunt. To me, that's the absolute worst.
Right.
And that's
okay,
fine.
Do you know, can I throw in a fact? I got a fact. Ding, ding, ding. That the words cunt and fuck were added to Webster's dictionary in 1971. That they were not in the dictionary until 71. So just throwing that in.
Yeah, I would have thought fuck would have come in earlier.
I know, me too, but they did. They came in at the same time in 71. Okay, go on. Just had to throw that in.
No, I love it. That's great. That goes into something else I was going to say, but I was just going to say that I started thinking about it culturally and wondering, you know, what, you know, I grew up with sort of that cultural Jewish viewpoint, and I do think that the cultural non-religious Jews, which are really their own crew, most of us, are claimed to be, you know, swearing like drinking wasn't disallowed, you know? So we're more comfortable with it. I think we embrace the word fuck a lot more than other religious groups. And I started realizing that many of my Facebook pals were posting these links recently. I don't know if you ever saw them. But to studies done, I mean, legit studies, that folks who swear more, you know, are more intelligent. They literally say are more attractive and are less violent.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a study. I mean, it was a Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts and some Marist College, and that it actually swearing relieves pain, makes you smarter, less violent, and it is not an indicator of linguistic stupidity, laziness, or non-intelligence. It's actually a sign of verbal intelligence. It was very interesting. I did notice a lot of them happen to be, and I'm not saying that Jews swear more, but maybe we do. I certainly would look into that. They were posting it like, look, you know, it's like one of those things that was going around, you know.
So can I throw something in, Amadeus, just as a reminder?
Yes, of course.
Just a reminder to keep track of time. We have about 9 more minutes, and I know that you did want to throw in something about astrology. So just a reminder of that as we're coming towards the end.
Absolutely, I do. And I'm going to throw in one quick thing right before that, and then the astrology.
Yeah.
So you were talking about when it entered the dictionary. Well, one of the interesting things that I did research and find out and was not surprised was that it was a Scottish fellow who first printed it, and it was a poet, of course, because it's Scotland.
Yes.
Named Dunbar, and you know, Scottish people are known for their very well-versed ability to swear.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting because, you know, they also were the first, you know, to do the first encyclopedia. You know, and exceedingly literate people, and they were the first to ban it too. So I a whole show could be done on the Scottish people and
certainly
the dirty words. But it's a very interesting thing about when it was first put into print. It was so long ago, and that it didn't get into the dictionary. That's shocking, you know, because that was in the 1500s until 1971.
Okay.
So in terms of astrology, in our last moments here, I thought it would be just kind of funny and interesting, like, oh, who swears the most, you know?
That's great, Amadeus. I love it. That's so fun. Okay.
and how do they swear? I went online to see what other people thought, you know, of the different signs, and nobody agrees about anything except for
okay.
one thing that Betty says that Aries says and represents the word dick. And that's the only
thing. Wait, say that again about... You got a little
Aries represents and would say the word dick the most of the astrological signs. That's the only consensus, and I would say that's probably partly because Aries is first, it's direct, and the sign, you know, points out like our symbol for male. But going through the signs,
can I say something about that really fast?
Yes,
I think that's interesting because I'm Aries rising, and my Mars is in Aries. I don't use the word dick, but I use the word fuck a lot. So
right. Maybe
I should start.
Where's
using
your Mercury?
Mercury's in Gemini. In Gemini.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. So I decided to go through Mercury because, you know, our sun signs tell us, but how do we speak, right?
Yeah.
So you might have an Aries, but they don't swear a lot. So Mercury and Aries, all right? This is a person who might swear when angry or impulsive. You know, fuck yeah, you can do it. Like encouraging, right? Or that fucking asshole, you know, if they're pissed off about somebody in traffic. They blow through it and they do it. But it's not that they're attached to it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's not a real, there's no premeditated thing on it. But, you know, the Mercury in Aries, you know, is an impulsive fire, fast sign, you know, their mind goes fast and... So I'd say that they do an encouraging fuck yeah, you know, fuck yeah,
okay.
You can hang glide, you know, and a fuck you asshole, you know, blah, 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 and then it's over. Mercury and Taurus, I would peg for a little bit less of a spur, okay? I mean, they don't get to anger as fast, but when they do, when their walls go up, because their wall is actually up all the time in the sense that they, you know, stick to their, you know, stubborn, you know, they grind in their heels, you know. The dirt,
yes.
If they feel, you know, the army coming up to their, you know, homestead and they dig in, they might be like, fucking no, I'm not doing this bullshit. But, you know, it would be sort of like that, putting it on the wall, you know?
Got it.
Mercury in Gemini is the chatty sign. That's what you are. You said you're a missing Gemini?
That's correct.
Yeah, Okay, so, you know, swearing's part of the dialogue. Gossip, she's acting bitchy, you know, it's light. That ass is up to something, you know, he fucking left her. Not much of a name caller, it's just sort of in common conversing. It's not an aggressive...
That's totally right. I don't name call, but no. It is part of conversation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you're around, people are doing it, and you're doing it, it's fun, and, you know, you're just throwing around light on the air, having fun with the words. Mercury in Cancer, I'd take, is not the least likely to swear. But if they're needing that crab out moment and they need to rescind and go into their shell, nothing's working, you know, they might just get to the part where they're just like, get the fuck away from me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Alienating someone so that they can go get their space. Or I don't trust that ass, you know, but more likely get the fuck away from me. They're not the first to go to it. More if they have to put up a boundary. Mercury and Leo might swear just to proclaim kingliness. Come one and all and hear my roar. I am the fucking king. I am the fucking light. I will provide a fucking amazing kingdom to you all if you all adore me. But if you fuck with me or make me feel like a dick, I'll fuck you up, you know?
That makes me laugh, yes.
A dramatic display. Mercury and Virgo, again, not as much, likely to be the swear of the zodiac. I mean, they're into precision. I don't really see them as precisely putting in a swear word, you know, premeditating it, like into their assessments. But into dry humor, you know, Mercury and Virgo is one of the funniest signs that it's dry humor, and they might throw a shit in there in an unexpected moment, or if they're completely bugged out, their nervous system, you know, something goes wrong. Right, Mercury and Libra, I'll swear if you do, I'll swear if it brings us equality, I'll swear if it brings us connection, or, hey, you called me a shit during that argument, huh? I'm mad at you, too. I'm going to call you an ass, because it's only fair if you swear at me, then I'm going to swear at you.
And right? That's who, Mercury and what?
That's not me. That's Mercury and Libra.
That's what I wonder. Mercury and Libra. Okay, yes.
Yep. Okay. Mercury and Scorpio. That's me. We might love the word fuck the most. We are actually associated, you know, with sexual innuendos, double entendres, the dark, murky waters of things. And if you cross the line, if you've really gone to the end of the line with us, we might have to say, the fucking buck stops here. I will skewer you, you asshole, if you ever do that again. But it takes a long time for you to go there. Long, long time. Mostly Scorpio, you know, innuendos with the word fuck. Okay? Mercury and Capricorn, again, not the biggest swears of the zodiac. They're serious folks, you know, systemizing the universe, running companies, working with tangibles.
Yeah.
It's pushed. It's intense. If the system is failing and they haven't been releasing their emotions, which they won't be generally, I mean, unless their sign has a lot of other stuff, I mean, their chart, they might have almost like a hissy fit intention swearing about the failed system. I can't get this going. The whole fucking company expects me to blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Mercury and Aquarius will swear just to rebel. In fact, they may be the best, you know, Scorpio loves the word fuck in some of the words if they're sexual innuendos, but Mercury and Aquarius will do it just when it's inappropriate, just to assert independence. They might be the fondest claimer of cussing, but for the effect. If somebody gave them no effect and it did not create change or show reform or show that they're sticking out in the crowd when they want to by being an iconoclast, the words would be useless. So the social mores play big into their embracing. Pisces, kind of one of the most confusing in this conversation.
Okay, how so?
Well, because they're sort of out in the ether, they're dreamy, they're poetic, you know, their mind is sort of, you know, fusing with the oneness of the universe, you know, mutable sign. So, you know, they are most likely to swear in a poem, in a love poem, or again, if a whole bunch of tension comes, you know, because they're taking on everybody's problems, but they didn't realize it, and their mind feels completely overwhelmed. They might go, I'm so fucking overwhelmed. I'm so fucking, I can't see what's going on. I'm tired, you know, that kind of thing. Complainy swearing, and maybe.
Okay. Oh my gosh, Amadeus, this was fantastic. This fucking fantastic. Thank you. Holy shit.
Right. Fuck yeah.
How do you feel?
I feel good. I feel fucking great. I love fuck.
I know you've had a busy day. I think your energy shifted. You feel more settled and grounded and open and like ready for the rest of your day.
I do. That's the power of the word fuck. I didn't even get to go into, you know, the linguistics of it, you know, the sound of it, you know. You know, the end of it with that hard consonant, the plosive makes it so pleasing, you know?
It does feel pleasing.
And do we have a few more minutes?
We have another minute. What's your last thought?
Okay, that's sort of my last thought. I just want to say that as a writer, as a poet, as a songwriter, word lover, that fuck is such a, forget all the other ones we talked about, fuck is the most satisfying word because the plosiveness of it is just delightful. It comes off your tongue and out of your mouth with this beautiful, just, you know, it's a full-on stop, it's a full-on go. It's just this beautiful word just because of the way it sounds. You know, it's a satisfying, meaty word.
It is. And for our listeners to know, you all can book sessions with Amadeus through her website, which is iamamadeus.com. And it's spelled A-M-A-D-A-E-S. Amadeus, thank you for being my guest. And I look forward to plotting our next topic for the next time you're on.
Me too. Thank you for being so open. I love it.
You're so welcome. I loved it too. Thank you and have a fantastic day.
You too. Okay.
Thank you. Bye. That concludes our show for today. Please tune in next Thursday and I will bring you another episode of All Things Therapy. Bye-bye.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir. Only